Yes, I'm Tom Baker. Normally, I know you're looking to an Insight Wednesday, but I met a good friend of mine, Pastor Ted Cray, and I asked him, was he able to come in today? So normally tomorrow is a Rumination Thursday where we talk with a pastor over some issues. So we're changing things around a bit. Today is going to be Rumination Wednesday on this June the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2016. Tomorrow is going to be Insight Thursday, where I'm going to go through from a law and gospel perspective. Excuse me. Just how to prepare for teaching a Bible class. We're going to use some law and gospel techniques that I use quite often. But with us, as I said, is Pastor Ted Cray. He's regional director for Latin America and the Caribbean, and somehow that means everything south of Mexico in South America, including those who speak Spanish, so he's also involved with Spain. And I'll just say that if I recall, my father was a Sunday school superintendent when you were at the church, and my brother James taught you Sunday school lessons. I'm trying to figure out how you turned out so well.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good, yes. Yeah. No. 10 countries you're involved with?
Right. So the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is planting churches in 10 countries throughout Latin America, which would include Central America, the Caribbean, South America, and as you already said, Spain.
Spain. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that much to do.
Hardly.
Small area, yeah. As a regional director, you indicated. What would you like to tell us about that ministry? I would like to know, first of all, what is the audience? Just before our program, Mark Wood comes on, always about 8:45, and he has this technique called LASSEE, a way of witnessing. It's listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. And they are putting resources up on the LCMS website. Let's say you have, like I did, have a Mormon live across the street from us. They will give you insight how best to witness to a Mormon. And I think they're going to have about 30 modules. So hopefully all the main religions will be there. And you can go and to LASSEE.org or just go to the LCMS website, and they're starting to put that up. So the things they were talking about is the kind of audience that you have and also what, obviously, who you are. So in your case, Pastor Cray, audience and the kind of missionaries. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Our audience would predominantly be Roman Catholic in that, of course, when the Spaniards came over some 500 plus years ago, it was all about Columbus bringing the faith. And that time, it would have been the Roman Catholic faith to the shores of first, really, the Dominican Republic. He settled in the north of what we would know today as Haiti. That colony collapsed upon his second return. He moved it over to what he named Isabella after the queen, and then sailed around the south side of that same island, Hispaniola, which is today the Dominican Republic, and settled Santo Domingo. And from there, he really evangelized the New World, as it was called at that time. Of course, the New Old World. And the faith was really taken out through Central America, then south, and of course, all the way down into Brazil itself. And what we have today is a predominantly Roman Catholic audience. That in practice actually means culturally Catholic. So one is attached to the church by culture. A Venezuelan will say to you, for example, I'm Venezuelan, which means I'm Roman Catholic. That means my parents were, my grandparents were. And their attachment to the church might be I am baptized. And perhaps confirmed, but not necessarily much more. Therefore, active participation in the church is rather absent. And our people know of Christianity, but are not necessarily Christians. Latinos themselves make a distinction between Catholics and evangelicals. Anybody who is of the Roman Catholic Church is católico. Anybody who's anything else is evangelico. So popular distinctions throughout Latin America are one is of the Roman Catholic Church or one is simply evangelical. So the audience is cultural Catholics, by and large. Certainly there are exceptions. Guatemala, for example, since the 50s, has almost half and half, 50% evangelical, perhaps even more than the Catholics. However, predominantly, most of our countries are Roman Catholic.
The evangelicals, do they attend church more often?
Absolutely. And evangelicals are largely Pentecostals. Yes. Pentecostalism, as throughout much of the other part of the world, is also very, very alive in Latin America.
Can you give an example how someone, either culturally Roman Catholic or even evangelical, why would they decide to join the Lutheran Church? What's your approach to get them interested in that?
Sure. All about the law and all about the gospel.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that's something that's interest to you, Pastor Baker.
Yes.
The law is a natural bridge as far as mission work goes, because, of course, the Lord put that in our hearts. Yes. So when we speak that, it does resonate with something that is already innate to us. Though we might want to deny it, it's there. And there's many instances in which being able to speak to another about being loved, who loves us, how do we love God, who is God, open up to us all sorts of conversations. Innately, why would someone want to be interested in the Lutheran Church? We have the gospel. In such beautiful fashion, really, us Lutherans like to talk about pure doctrine. And I really think a popular way of talking about pure doctrine is saying we want someone to see all of Jesus.
Yes.
And that is really why we're on about mission work, is we seek to plant Lutheran churches where Jesus is present and his gifts are given. And, of course, that comes about through recognizing that we're a fallen, broken people, and that of ourselves, we just fail, and utterly at that. And our Lord, through his Spirit in the Word, brings about repentance, and repentance, of course, then brings about faith as the Spirit comes through the working of his Word. And, of course, the angels rejoice at each and every one that repents. And I think the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod continues to have a missionary zeal to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. And certainly the first and foremost task of the missionary is getting out there and bringing the nations to the church. And that's done in a multitude of ways. It could be teaching English as a second language in a country. It might be having my fellow colleague simply put an ad in the paper and said, we're teaching theology. And 12 people showed up.
Really?
It might be offering a course on cooking. There's any number of ways to bring people, I'd say a million plus one ways to bring people into contact with the gospel. However, even Billy Graham came to recognize through his crusades that he needed to connect believers with local churches. And that is so because we know our Lord makes himself present through his word and through his gifts. And if we simply tell them, we simply plant that seed or throw out that net, it's not enough. We need to follow up and bring them into the church because there our Lord is, and there he disciples them through his word and his gifts that are given.
Yeah, one of the techniques that I like using, I have a postcard, and on the back of the postcard are about 10 questions. For example, are you worried about being saved? Or are you having trouble in your marriage? Or do you need some help with raising your children, etc.? And on the front, there was the phone number for the church.
Right.
And we would hand out 1,000 of those to the members and just tell them to drop them off in washrooms or grocery stores. And there is, like you said, 12 came to yours.
Sure.
And depending on your area, one of the things I want to talk about being a law and gospel program is the question that I find best in order to introduce Lutheranism to the people that we work with in this area is, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And there's even Lutherans who say, I hope so, rather than say, yes, I will. Because the old Adam, and you talked about this, the old Adam puts in us the notion that our works make a difference.
Right.
And they really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent some time last week talking about that just speaking doctrine or even the historicity of the Bible saves nobody. So you have a sermon that Jesus is both God and man. So what?
Mm.
Or the history of the Bible, you can even say, yeah, he died on the cross and rose from the dead. The Pharisees knew that, and they weren't converted. I said, what you need to say are the benefits for the person that they're looking for, even though they don't know they're looking for him yet. It's out of that Isaiah 65 passage that God wants people to come who are not asking for him and not looking for him. So in this area, that question really is very good, because a lot of Roman Catholics, I've never met a Roman Catholic yet who says, yeah, if I die today, I'll go to heaven immediately because of their doctrine of purgatory. And so in that sense, around here, that question really opens up conversation, because the gospel is your works simply don't count.
Mm-hmm.
And many people haven't heard that. What kind of approach is best used with the people that you're working with? Would that be helpful, or do you have some other, when you get into the actual theology?
There really is no sharp distinction between church and state in Latin countries, because, of course, the Roman Catholic Church is of the state, much like Europe. And as such, religion is out there. It's everyday talk, and there's a multitude of means and manners to open up a conversation. Certainly, I was one of those young pastors who was guilty of trying to convince people doctrinally why they would want to be a Lutheran.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of an epiphany one day speaking with a woman who came into our office. The Lutheran Hour, we collaborate with them closely in church planting.
Lutheran Hour, part of the auxiliary organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Sure. And they have offices in many of our church plants. We give out flyers. It's a means whereby we bring people in, giving talks on a monthly basis on a range of topics, whether it's suicide or things as mundane as how to get your homework done, how to study for your exams, and invite people into the church to hear that. And then, of course, the pastor's there, and there's a chance to speak the gospel and invite to the divine service. Well, certainly speaking with this woman one day who had come into the office, I just paused and tried a different approach. And I said, so when I was young, my sister died. She was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where she is today. And this young mother said to me, and how do you know that? I said, well, she's baptized.
Right.
And we have the precious promises of Jesus that he is now of her, of him.
Yes.
And I said, do you have that comfort? And what I'm saying, Tom, is,
yes,
of course, our confessions as well as our scripture again and again and again speak comfort. And you spoke of benefit. And I think that's exactly what people don't know,
right,
what they don't have. And when we speak the gospel, and we can speak of this peace that passes all understanding, or Pentecost promises such as, if you love me, I will come and we will make our home in you, or I will bring to mind all these things that I have taught you, or I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give unto you. These are things of which many people do not even imagine are present.
Exactly. I always make the point that on Judgment Day, God's not going to judge you by the faith in your head, but the faith in your heart.
Sure.
In other words, creating me a clean heart. They've been baptized. And the problem is, while you go to church and Bible class, is by the time things get up to your head, you get kind of confused. And so the purpose of coming to church is to get your head to catch up with your heart. Mm-hmm. And what you just said is an excellent example that that person really does believe in her heart about baptism. It's just she's never heard it in the way that you expressed it.
Sure.
When I was doing, I think it was orals for my doctorate, Martin Charlemagne, who was my advisor, a professor at Concordia Seminary, asked me the question, and Tom, what are the means of grace? And I had a big smile. And I said, law and gospel. And he looked at me and he said, the law is the means. I'm sorry. And for the longest time, a lot of people think grace or the means of grace is just the gospel. I agree with that, but the law is also a means of wrath.
Right.
In other words, we preach the law for the purpose of showing that there's no way an unbeliever can do anything in order to come to faith.
I think we could even go a step further.
Oh, help me.
And it might even be unpopular to say so, but certainly by the mouth of one or two witnesses, every word is established.
Yes.
And a missionary, despite what he might see, is never a failure, because every word that we speak of Christ is a word spoken for or against one. And the Lord holds that word into account, not us. So we are not judges, nor do we know another's heart. But that word is one spoken for or against, depending upon whether one has come to faith.
The word never returns empty.
Precisely.
When I was a pastor at St. James for 28 years, I was also on the radio, and I'd be having a conversation, like somebody would say, I don't believe in infant baptism. Then I would explain our position, sure, etc. And I always knew that, you know, the person was ready to keep on going if they said one of two things. The first one was, I never heard that before.
Mm.
And the other one was, I have to think about that.
Right.
I can't remember hardly ever convincing anybody on the radio, you know, where they suddenly said, okay, I want to be Lutheran.
Right.
But within 5 or 6 weeks, 1/3 of my adult instruction class began to be people from the radio program who wanted to hear more about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very good point. The missionaries never fail. When Jesus took the whip into the temple, there was no gospel there. But had he not done that, these people would have still trying to rob their salvation from God by buying these sacrifices, etc. So that was a very loving act for him to do that, to wake them up by the law. And guess what? Two of the Sanhedrin Pharisees, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, not only came to him, but they ended up burying him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a kind of a process. So explain a little bit, what kind of missionaries do you work with? What are you looking for in a missionary in this particular area?
Well, certainly those who are faithful, but undoubtedly those who understand the Lutheran faith and are committed to teaching long gospel. You cannot come into the kingdom until you understand that some things are impossible.
Yes.
Nicodemus certainly found this out. How can I again crawl back into my mother's womb?
Yes.
And this teacher of the law came face to face with what was physically impossible.
Yes.
And therefore, courage is certainly an element of our work in a missionary nowadays, where we need to faithfully confess and tell people, frankly, there's some things you cannot do. This is impossible. There is no way to get there from here.
The Mark 10 passage of the rich man, after the disciples say, who then can be saved if this rich man? And Jesus' words are good. With man it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, evangelicals say, yes, with the help of God, I can do things to save myself. But that's not what that text means.
Right.
He's not just talking about rich man. He's talking about rich man, poor man, ugly man, good-looking man, any man, woman, or child. It is as impossible to do something or think something or say something to get into the kingdom of heaven as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Precisely.
And that's why the gospel. You're never alone when you speak the gospel, because the Holy Spirit can be behind that and bring a conversion. So your insight that the kind of missionaries you're looking for, that's really important to understand.
Sure. And of course, we want them also to predominate in the gospel.
Yes.
And it seems to me that a missionary task is to get people into the front door. And the front door of the kingdom is, of course, baptism. In people having an awareness throughout Latin America of what the church is, in their eyes, oftentimes, unfortunately, it's somewhat cynical because it's an institution.
Yes.
It's a big institution wedded to the state, which is often seen as corrupt. And I think our New Testament allows us to speak faithfully in a way which is familial and resonates with the Latin, because they have strong familial ties. And certainly, what else is baptism than being welcomed into God's family, coming in through the front door where the house is fully furnished, and at the table, the best part of any home is the family. God the Father is there, His Spirit is present, our Lord gives of Himself to eat, and there we find ourselves at a place where there's so many other brothers and sisters. There's a bed on which to lie, where your conscience is now at rest.
Yes.
And I think a enormous part of the missionary task is to bring people in through the front door, and then raise up indigenous national pastors who would carry on that task.
The vast majority of the folks I had in animal instruction who had not been Christian ended up being baptized before they were confirmed. And I did that on the basis of the Ethiopian eunuch. He only had about 1/16 of an adult instruction class.
Sure.
And then he looked and said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And he immediately was baptized. And baptism, that's a really good insight you have, is kind of the opening door. And then the rest of adult instruction says, by the way, here's all the benefits you just got.
Precisely.
That you're unaware of.
Precisely. If a good friend of mine once compared baptism to receiving as an infant a absurd gift, a Ferrari, in which one could not even reach the pedals or see over the steering wheel.
Yes.
Because the gift is so magnificent. There's so much there.
Yes.
And it takes time to become aware of all that our Lord has given us right there.
Which reminds me of what I consider to be God's favorite metaphor. I can't find a metaphor in the Bible where God is describing how an unbeliever is converted, where the unbeliever cooperates or contributes to his conversion.
Sure.
And my favorite one is, of course, adoption.
Mm.
And I asked a woman who didn't believe in infant baptism, I said, what does a baby do in order to get adopted? And she was stuck. It's always the decision of those who are doing the adoption. And in this case, it's God who adopts us into His family. We have all those gifts, all those benefits, but people are unaware of them. And that's where the proper preaching of law and gospel comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one way, our Lord to us. And were it any other way, boy, are we mixed up. If I were to go back to my example about coming in the front door, you can't offer to pay the Lord to rent the house. It's already paid for.
Yes.
You can't offer to furnish it. It's already furnished. You can't say what food you want on the table. It's already there. It's all given, and that through His inexpressible love and grace. And I think we often forget that the eating of the food or being in that family or even of that house, the communion that is there, and I'm using that in a more broad expression, the fellowship that is ours, in that His Spirit would be so intimate as to live within us, and we are now His temples. You know, with the rise of paganism and the occult and all the rest, it resonates with people in Latin America who are well aware of spirits and evil ones at that. That in baptism, now the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God Himself, resides within one. Comfort.
Yes.
That's a constant theme to a Lutheran missionary, comfort.
Would you agree with me that Lutheranism is so unique and so different than either the Roman Catholic or the evangelical point of view that people are totally ignorant of what we believe, teach,
sure,
and confess?
One of my favorite professors in seminary, if I can use a little bit of a crass example, said that Lutherans are like a drunken peasant staggering down the street. On the one side, you have those who are Roman Catholic, and there's a ditch. On the other side, it's the Reformed. And he said, at one moment, we find ourselves veering too far to the right,
yep,
wanting to identify ourselves with them. Another, all the way over to the left.
Yes.
But really, we have a straight and true road, which we need to follow.
I didn't realize that you had Martin Luther as a professor.
It was actually Professor Marquardt, Kurt Marquardt.
Oh, I know. One of the, his books are so good. And they're available from Concordia Publishing House. You know, there are some professors, I always say there's three kinds.
Sure.
Some, if you read one book, you got the whole class.
Mm.
Others, you have to read 1,000 books. But then you have the Marquardt level, where what he says, you can't find in a book yet.
Right.
You know, it's people like James Veltz and Nagel and Scare.
Sure.
You know, you had Scare, didn't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Who was really scary. Oh, well, guess what? We're at the end. But if you would like to get a hold of Pastor Cray, or look what he has, he's got at tcray, T-K-R-E-Y, at hotmail.com.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with me today. And tomorrow we will revert back to Insight Wednesday, where we're going to be using some of the same items we just talked about in how to prepare not only sermons, but also a Bible study, so that you get not just doctrine, but you get gospel being said. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.